You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is eCommerce Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
And once again, this is Eric Dye, and welcome to eCommerce Radio, your EPN channel where you can get in on the inside track and find out what others are doing to experience great results with their online stores. Whether it's the latest tools, e-commerce platforms, or marketing techniques, this is where we talk about how to have a successful e-commerce experience. Today, once again, we have the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Albert Chow from Diesel Jack Media to discuss e-commerce issues with retailers, small, medium, and large businesses. Diesel Jack Media is a full-service marketing company. And Mr. Chow, thanks for joining us once again.
Hey, much appreciated. Glad to be back.
Yeah, thanks for your time. Looking forward to learning a few things from you on today's topic. So for starters, what is the number one issue affecting retailers during this holiday season? And I understand it's affecting receiving and shipping goods. Can you elaborate on this further to get things underway here today?
Yeah, there's two major problems. Shipping's one of them. So shipping is, it counts for both sides. It's both receiving as well as shipping goods. Most retailers right now are at the mercy of whatever, UPS, FedEx, whoever is doing, postal office, whoever's doing the shipping, there's bound to be backlogs. People were also burned last year, if you recall. A lot of people last Christmas, last holiday season, they purchased products. They didn't get them in time. So now there's more people ordering a little bit earlier. It's a bit of a challenge. The other thing that's a major challenge, and this is something that no one can solve by themselves, is the amount of goods they have not received. So there have been stories, I'm sure you've read about, how shipping ships off the coast of the United States are backlogged. You're talking about ports with 40, 50 boats deep, full of containers of goods. There's something, so I'm an avid surfer, I say it in every show, but there's something like $30 million of wetsuits right now on boats that have not been received. So if you're a retailer and you're in the, let's say, surf business and you plan on selling wetsuits, well, I got bad news for you. You don't have a wetsuit to sell because it's sitting on a boat in the middle of the ocean. You thought you were going to get it, you're not. So there are definitely a lot of companies that if they depended on international manufacturing of any sort, they might not have goods to sell, goods to ship. And it's a huge problem. As you know, for most e-tailers, the fourth quarter is going to account for 30% or more of their annual revenues. So they've already got all these goods that they paid for to manufacture and are sitting on boats off the coast of the United States. And they're not going to be able to sell them, or they're going to have to convince customers to buy them now and receive them later. And this is going to be a problem. I believe it's going to be a major problem.
Yeah, that certainly is concerning news, no doubt about that, and it's something we've hardly ever had to deal with, so that certainly is worth mentioning. Now, how has advertising affected retailers' bottom line, and how has that translated to social media advertising as well? Touch on some of that information, if you would.
So this is the other major problem is the war, or the battle, however, depending on your perspective, between Apple and Facebook, or the privacy, the rising tide for more privacy. So what effectively is happening is one of the greatest distribution channels of our time has been Facebook. Its ability to reach, and Instagram, its ability to reach a customer, show them a product that they get interested in, of course, come back and purchase. Now, unbeknownst to most people, despite what Facebook or anyone advertises, but we kind of knew it existed, was Facebook on the back end would do more matching than you targeted. So for example, if you said you were going to sell to an audience, let's say you were going to sell to moms and you're going to sell like a baby product, you're going to sell to moms, you could target women, you could target moms. But Facebook also on the back end could target more people off more sociographic data that were more likely to buy. So even if the pool of moms was, let's say, 20 million people in the United States, Facebook would know like, hey, then this cohort of maybe 100,000 is actually your best bet to buy because we know so much data about them. Now, this has changed because Facebook is not getting conversion data back from Apple. It's not able to continue to build these social graphs. So this has impacted every advertiser that we've seen. We have heard of nobody doing better using the techniques of previous. So the techniques of previous that we all depended on have basically, they're not available anymore. And so people are going towards new techniques that they need to do in order to get their advertising in front of the right buyers. It's a massive challenge, especially for anyone who's a scrappy startup, let's say, or you don't have the ability to hire an outside agency or hire outside expertise and you're going to do it yourself. it becomes a big deal. If your ad dollars are not reaching the audience that is most likely to buy, it is of course a major problem. So you have shipping problems, you also have advertising problems, and it'll be. I think this Christmas season we will see more aggregation to the main retail buyer, like the major retail marketplaces. So you're going to see like more people buying off Amazon. You're going to see more people buying off Walmart.com, which most people don't even know this. It's actually a marketplace. Walmart only carries some of the things that are on Walmart.com. Most of the things are actually supplied and shipped by other people like you and I.
Really some interesting feedback from you on that, and really do appreciate your input. Now, because of the pandemic, from what you're seeing, are consumers' purchasing habits changing, and who is benefiting from these changes?
I don't want this to get politically charged, but really a lot of the laws that were passed and mask mandates and some of the things that have passed in the last year have most benefited the biggest sellers. So the biggest sellers were the ones that were allowed to stay open. The biggest sellers were the ones that that were considered essential. So Amazon, Target, Walmart, any of the massive marketplaces, they reaped the benefit because you got used to consuming even more products. So like for as much market penetration that Amazon Prime has, they still don't have everybody. They still don't have 100% market share in the United States. It might feel that way, but they don't have that. Their Prime memberships increased during the pandemic. Makes total sense. More people needed a reliable source of goods. And Amazon, of course, with their FBA listing, says when they list a product that means that they have it in stock, which means they also own their own fulfillment chain. Everyone knows of Amazon Vans, which means they knew that they could get the product to you. So if you ordered something, of course, it would come to you directly through Amazon's channels. So that created more centralized buying behavior. So one of the things we're going to see, in my opinion, that's going to change, that has changed, it's already changed, is more, there's going to be more people starting their search on Amazon to begin with, which leaves a lot of e-tailers that are selling maybe directly through your .com. It's a problem because, the total dollars somebody has to spend in the holidays, let's say you have a budget of $1,000 to buy gifts for everyone you know. But if you start your experience on Amazon and you allocate all $1,000, there will be no more dollars to allocate. So the retail spending as a whole, United States, is probably going to be better this year. But I think it's going to centralize. The spending's going to centralize to just a couple players, which really is a shame because it's going to leave a lot of great companies, in a bit of a lurch because they're not going to be able to maybe not get the numbers that they got in previous years.
Really some interesting insight and information shared already today. We're joined by Mr. Albert Chow from Diesel Jack Media, full service marketing company. He's joined us once again here on E-Commerce Radio, a part of EPN. The Enterprise Podcast. Now, Albert, what other changes are you seeing in consumer buying trends right now?
So these two kind of blend together, but one of the things that's happening more is there's new spending habits, and this comes from a lot from pent-up demand. You're seeing a lot of companies that sell experiences do really exceptionally well. So, for example, Airbnb just reported earnings just this week for the last quarter, and bookings are through the roof. There's more people doing month-long or more bookings at Airbnb. So there's more people that are investing money in things that they can experience. I think that makes complete sense. We've basically been locked into our homes or asked to stay at our homes for more than a year. So there's a lot of people that want to do things. They want to travel. They want to see things. Whether international travel is available or not, of course, there's certain countries that still don't allow us to fly in, but people are trying to do things. You saw firsthand, for those that follow the amusements industry, like Sea's, which owns SeaWorld and Busch Gardens, they chose not to open any of their rides that which they had built during the pandemic. They literally said, we don't need them because that's how many people want to buy tickets. These parks were crushed with visitors. So much so that they didn't even feel the need to open new rides, which is crazy. So if you read about Seas, all of their rides were built to launch in 2021, and they just decided not to open them. Said, we don't need to. That's how much demand there's been for more experiences. So when I say an experience, I would say anything outside of your house that you got to go do. You've probably heard of restaurants are now refilling in. So there's a lot of pent-up demand for experiences. The other thing that's interesting is the rise of digital. It's something I don't fully understand, but there's more dollars being spent on digital goods than ever. So a digital good is something, you know, Facebook's going into the metaverse. That's what they talk about. But a digital good is literally like my son, he would rather have a new skin for his Fortnite character than he would have a t-shirt for himself, which is insane, right? There's more kids, more people that want digital goods than physical goods. So like you've probably seen the rise of NBA Top Shot, which is non-fungible token sales for different events that happen in NBA games. People want to own these things, digital assets only. It's pretty crazy. So you're seeing more dollars being put there. So the economy is thriving. There's money being spent, but I think there is a shift on being spent on what? So there's more dollars being spent on digital, more money being spent in marketplaces, and more money spent on experiences. So if you're a physical good seller, like let's say you sell t-shirts out of your, you know, t-shirt.com, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. We've seen that across the board from our clients that are in that sell physical goods from their .coms that don't have retail distribution yet. They have probably seen the biggest hits. But it's also an opportunity because some of our clients, like they've gone out of their way to open up physical pop-up shops, and their physical pop-up shops are killing it. Like they're moving, you know, 10x what they do online off of just one weekend. So there's been a big shift. The economy is healthy, but where and what people are spending their money is a little bit different.
Some great examples shared in some crazy times we're living in today. Now, lastly, more and more consumers are purchasing more items online versus the big box stores. We've certainly been hearing a lot about that here on this program. Do you think this trend will continue with the pandemic ending? We certainly hope it's ending. Or do you think that more consumers will go back to buying in big box stores in the near future?
Well, I think it's just going to be a blend. I think big box maybe is not a good business model going forward because it requires so much square footage and it requires you to carry so much SKUs, so it like locks up your cash. But I don't see retail spending dying off. I'll give you an example. I was just in Austin. So if you think about the rise of direct-to-consumer brands that are valuations at $1 billion, Allbirds IPO recently just happened. You know, they're principally sold online now. But all of these companies that did this are now opening up stores because online can only get you so far, because at the end of the day, there's still a great percentage of people who don't really buy things unless they can touch or manipulate them in some way. I think what you're going to see is retail's gonna, I mean, it's been predicted for a while, but this next season might even accelerate it even more. Sellers are going to have to figure out how to make their retail footprints more like showrooms. They're going to have to be like these super exciting, brand-driven experience places where people can touch and feel goods and really, really understand the product. They'll probably purchase it there. They might purchase it online. I know, like, if you walk into a North Face store, they don't mind, or it's no different from an iTunes store, Apple store, right? They're no problem with you going on the .com and buying the product. They don't care if you actually buy it in the store. Like, they're not commissioned that way. But I think that retail, it's long been said, this isn't my personal prediction. This has long been said. I just agree with it. Retail is not going to die, but what is going to be displayed at retail is going to be different. And I think big box might die. Big box meaning huge stores with tons of SKUs, carrying tons of inventory. That might go away or diminish some, a lot, because they're just too costly to operate. And that's not quite what people want to do to experience when they buy things. But like my example from all the direct-to-consumer brands, I was down in Austin. Literally every single hot direct-to-consumer brand, Madewell, Everlane, Allbirds, Away, they all, Warby, they all had retail footprints on the same street. So retail's never, I don't know, retail probably, you know, it's never going to die, or never, I shouldn't ever say never. I don't think it's going to die, but maybe the big box model specifically will diminish.
I think that is a very accurate response, and I do really appreciate your insight in all regards here today and for taking a moment to be with us once again here on E-Commerce Radio. If listeners wanted to get more information on your marketing company, Diesel Jack Media, where's the best place to do so online?
Yeah, it's real quick. It is Diesel Jack Media, so dieseljackmedia.com. We are a marketing firm. Anyone can go check us out at www.dieseljackmedia.com. And that's probably the best way. Interestingly, even though we do social marketing for companies, we actually don't spend too much of our time on our own social presence, mainly because that's not where our business comes from. But we do like to post there every now and then. But yeah, visit us at www.dieseljackmedia.com.
Again, folks, the website of reference is dieseljackmedia.com. Mr. Chow, all the best, and look forward to a future conversation right here on eCommerce Radio.
Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Albert Chow from Diesel Jack Media, full service marketing company. And again, for more information and for contact, visit dieseljackmedia.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to eCommerce Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to eCommerce Radio. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.